Now, his theme, and it occurs about, I think I've marked six times, that he makes reference to the day of the Lord. And he evidently was the first of the writing prophets. Now, that ought to tell us something. You remember that we've already seen that Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel all refer to the day of the Lord. Fact of the matter is, they call it sometime that day. And we're going to find Zechariah more or less majors in that day. What is that day? It's the day of the Lord, or the day of Jehovah. And Joel is the one who introduces it. Yonder from the mountaintop of prophecy, this man looked down through the centuries and saw farther than any other prophet saw. And he saw the day of the Lord. Now, this is an expression that's freighted with meaning, and it not only includes the millennial kingdom that will come at the second coming of Christ, but Joel is going to make it very clear to us that it begins with the great tribulation period, a time of great trouble, and he's going to deal with that. And it means, very frankly, that this expression, the day of the Lord, is a technical expression. And it encompasses and includes that period that begins with the great tribulation, and it continues on, I think, into eternity. But we can put down, if you want, a boundary or a parenthesis at the end of the millennium. And when he puts down then all unrighteousness, the final rebellion, and then he establishes his kingdom here upon the earth, the eternal kingdom that will continue throughout eternity. So that the day of the Lord is very important. Now, it's peculiar to the prophets of the Old Testament. And it is an Old Testament expression. It does not include the period that the church is in the world, because none of these prophets spoke about the church. They never spoke about a period that a group of people would be called out from among the Gentiles and from actually the nation Israel and the tribes of the earth and all be brought in one great body called the church, and that that church would be raptured, and that's a good scriptural term, and taken out of this world. Now, James, the one that we've just been looking at the Great Council of Jerusalem in the 15th chapter of Acts, he more or less outlined this period. He says here, beginning at verse 14 in Acts 15, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it's written. Now, notice this. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. After this, after what? After he calls out the church in the world, God again will turn to this program, and the day of the Lord now refers to this. And he goes on in verse 17, that the residue of man might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now, today he's calling out of the Gentiles a people. And in that day it's to all the Gentiles that'll be entering the kingdom in that day. And I think there'll be a tremendous turning to God at that time, which the church has never witnessed, nor will it witness. Now somebody said, why is God following this program? Well, let me read verse 18 of the 15th of Acts. James says this, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And don't ask me the question, ask God, because I don't know. And nobody else knows. Somebody says, why is God following this program? Because it's his program, it's his universe. He's not responsible to you. God doesn't turn in a report to you and to me at the end of the week to tell us what he's been doing and to get him approved. God's program will never be investigated by a Senate committee. It will never come in under the inspection of the FBI. And anything God's doing will never be decided by the Supreme Court of the United States or any ruler on top side of the earth there ever has been. Known unto God are all his ways, and he's doing it this way because this is the way he wants to do it. And friends, all I can say is it's just too bad if you and I don't like it, because after all, we're just creatures down here in this world. Now, the day of the Lord is very prominent in the little prophecy of Joel. In three chapters, it occurs six times, average two times a chapter. So that's the great theme that we have here in this book.